The following episode of FOFOP is classified MA. It contains some coarse language, some nudity, drug references, a sex scene, time travel, terrible Batman impersonations, a Charlie Clausen pronounced Clausen-shaped hole, and mild coarse language. FOFOP advises that the program is not suitable for persons under the age of 15, and minors must be accompanied by an adult guardian or priest. This is John Deek speaking.
Oh shit, fuck. That didn't work quite as well as I wanted it to. That was all going so well. We'd finally got everything set up. And then I went to sit back on this lovely big
perfect
leather couch. Oh, you know what? We can actually just bring it over here next to us and put it in the middle there. That's much better. I don't know why we were like...
We should not open a logistics business.
No, it's terrible. So to describe what's going on, hello and welcome to FOFOP. I'm Will Anderson. FOFOP. Couldn't even say the name of the podcast. This is a good start. FOFOP. I've never actually found that so difficult to say.
You've never fumbled over it so much.
So hello and welcome to FOFOP. My name is Will Anderson and joining me is what we used to say guest Charlie Clausen, but Lindsay, I made a decision on a recent episode with Justin Hamilton that
G'day, Jazz.
I'm back doing TOEFOP now with Charlie.
Oh,
and
yeah,
FOFOP
yeah.
really was, you know, for the time where Charlie couldn't do TOEFOP and then it became its own thing.
Yeah.
And then I had decided last year that I was not going to do FOFOP anymore because I was just like, I'm so busy and I've got... People are always like, oh, you know, you should do more philosophy. And I was like, you know what?
That's a good one.
That's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, that is.
I'm going to do more philosophy and that will mean that I can't do FOFOP anymore, right? So maybe I'll try to find some of those same people, like my guest
just
friends.
Just by being here, I can tell where this story's going.
Yeah, so now I'm starting doing FOFOP again and I've done no fucking new philosophy. So.
Well, you know, I would say, no, do what you want.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, what I was going to say is you're no longer guest Charlie, okay. Lindsay Webb. You are now just Lindsay Webb. Welcome, Lindsay Webb. Yeah.
So FOFOP is now officially like a spin-off.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's its own thing now.
So you've got your own Charles in charge.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what it is. It's Charles in charge. It's Scott. We're Scott Baio and Willie Ames.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Scott Baio's been a bit crazy.
Oh, now. Yeah. Now. I mean, don't listen to his political opinions.
His early stuff, great.
Yeah, I mean, well, Charles in Charge is a fan of Don in Charge. And that's...
that's true.
I do not want Don in Charge, no. Don in Charge of me.
No, Cha-Cha Trumpy.
Were you a Charles in Charge fan?
Yeah, I don't know about fan, but I watched it. I don't think... It wasn't one of those shows where I... If you ask, were you a Happy Days fan? Yes. Like, if I saw that Happy Days was going to be on, I'd make sure that I could try and get near the TV when it was on. Charles in Charge was one of those things where it was exciting because it was someone from Happy Days and I would watch it, but I wouldn't say diehard fan.
So, interestingly enough, or not interestingly enough, perhaps, I think I was more of a Charles in Charge fan than I was a Happy Days fan.
Well, Charles in Charge had many more modern themes than your Happy Days did. Happy Days was a, you know, very 60s-centric type ideals around the house and around the way things worked, where Charles in Charge was it 80s or 90s even? Was it the 90s?
I don't know. I mean, I could grab my computer.
Ah, don't worry about the
but
facts.
Yeah, let's not worry about
but
the
you
facts.
Know what but I mean. It was a different... It was from a different era of, you know, moral understanding and political correctness and all that sort of
thing. Had a good theme. That's what I remember. It was a... New boy in the neighborhood lives downstairs and it's understood that he's there just to take good care of me.
Yeah, you're
like
good.
He's part of the family. Charles in charge of our days and our
This is not
nights.
From the computer. This is...
Charles
Will's got this.
In charge of our wrongs and our rights. Now, this is a good bit.
Yeah.
And we'll see. I want Charles in charge of me.
Oh, it's very... It's quite,
it comes home strong.
Does it?
Charles in Charge theme.
Now, dominating Charles there at the end.
We are in Byron Bay. I'm doing some work in progress shows at the Brunswick Picture House. I'm staying at an accommodation that is like... it has... It's a... What do you call it?
Well, as
like
the Kiwis would say, it's deceptive.
Right.
Isn't it?
It's a guest house of some kind, but there's individual rooms that are all very
en-suited.
Lovely. And it's
French for little bathroom.
Doesn't have its own fridge, so there's a communal fridge, but you have your own bathroom.
It's right outside your door, though.
It is right outside
my door.
It's
like it's in your kitchen.
Which is a good or bad thing.
Oh, you
depending, because it's
late
a communal
night snackery.
Fridge. I mean, there was no late night noise last night, apart from me getting in late and making noise.
Yeah, you want to go to Helga?
But I don't think there's... I think there's a lot of new guests here again today, so I don't really know.
Could be
if,
a whole different show tonight.
Exactly. You never know what's going to be going on here tonight. But we're sitting on a kind of a big leather sofa.
The kind you'd find in the dean's office at any well-to-do school.
And there's two of them. So,
assistant dean as well.
Originally, I was thinking that... well, they seem to be the same rank because they're both big three seaters.
Oh, yeah, co-deans.
So I thought that we would have...
A couple of co-deans.
You actually need a prescription for them these days. That's the problem.
Can't even get these deans over the counter.
Exactly. I hope you guys have a prescription for these co-deans. I go to Codeine University. Oh, really? Takes the edge off the Adderall.
Oh, it does it,
so,
ever.
we're having a bit of trouble going to... the business here is constipated. Anyway, Codeine blocks you off, is my podcast. So a bit of a warning there for any Codeine addicts.
It's a lovely room, though, isn't it?
It's a really nice room.
Open fireplace.
And I thought that we were going to sit on one of the... sofas each, the couches each.
Well,
and then I realised that the cords for the microphones and the computer setup that I have, it wouldn't reach that far.
You do have the most minuscule mic lead I've seen for a podcast system, to be honest. That
I've got some longer ones at home, but I don't like to travel with the...
No, I see what you've done. It's quite all right. It's just it doesn't quite work. If we'd have moved a couch... No. We'd have gone to too much trouble.
Well, basically what has happened now is because we put a table in front of us and then I nearly knocked everything off the table by leaning back into the couch because my headphone cord's not
working. Abandoned that plan.
So now it's all up next to us in the middle.
Yeah.
So it's essentially like,
it's quite nice.
Yeah, it's fine. It all works.
I've just realised.
And now I have the computer on my lap.
I think we've found the only pocket in the room that has hot air in it still too because we're slightly too far back from the aircon beam.
Well, because we're underneath the air conditioner. So we're literally sitting in the one place that the air conditioner doesn't cater to.
On a leather couch.
Because it doesn't go straight down.
It's the best.
Like over there, in that
so
bed.
Cold.
Oh, by the way, let's just take a moment to describe the bed.
Well, it's a princess bed, I think. Is that what it's called?
It's a four-poster.
Do they call that a princess bed?
I mean, they might.
Mm. I watch a bit of The Block while I'm walking past the couch.
Right. We'll call Husey. Husey will
know. He'll know
He'll
for
buy
sure.
It. He probably owns this place.
Owns it. It has an antique, ornate wooden stands with that's sort of like a faux mozzie thing around it, isn't it? I think that's more decorative than actual.
I think that you could probably, know, you undo those things and it surrounds it all in that sort of white sheetery.
Cheesecloth.
It'd be quite an intimate romantic thing to do, but I'm here by myself.
On your own.
But
It's just an angry Punch and Judy show the way I'm seeing it from over here.
I must admit, when I got home last night, I didn't realise that it had that. It's not until we've sat on this couch that I fully appreciated that I could untie the thing. I know now that I'm going to try to do that. And then in the middle of the night, I'm going to get up to go to the bathroom and forget
and
that I've done it.
Totally wrapped like a Christmas ham.
And they're going to find me already pre-wrapped like for it to be a mummy. They're like, this guy's from Egypt?
He's embalmed himself.
All right. Charles in Charge is an American sitcom starring Scott Baio. It aired for a total of 126 episodes over five seasons.
It's more than I would have thought.
Okay. You know what? If things like that come up, I might get you to have a guess and we can see how
that's a good idea.
Yeah, that would have been a good one.
100 and...
how many episodes do you reckon it did?
120 something?
Yeah, how many? Well, I literally just told you 30 seconds ago. If you don't get it right...
125.
Oh, so close.
122?
And I can see how you got it, 126 over five seasons. Yeah, that's why you didn't get invited on Cram.
Damn it.
So
I don't think that's the reason.
The series was a production. I didn't either. The series was a production of Albert. Yeah, Pete Hellier and I are very good friends, but maybe he knows I smoke way too much. But in fact, that's why we both didn't get invited. I've identified the reason. It's not about cramming your pie. It's not about cramming your lungs full of marijuana.
You two have misunderstood.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
Yeah. That'd be good. So for international listeners, because it's Peter Halley, who's a brilliant comedian who's been on Fofop before. He has a TV show here called Cram, and it's a memory game.
It's a fresh game.
Yeah. And, well, that's why I'm explaining it to people. Yeah. So it's they'll show you a whole bunch of things, and then the games are based on kind of, you know, you cramming your memory of the thing, the facts and whatever they've told you. I've seen a few episodes and been entertained by what I saw. Got some brilliant people involved in it. And I haven't seen enough of it to fully be across it. But I reckon it'd be great if they did a Stoner special.
Oh, yes.
Or even if that was one of the rounds. So they give you all the information. Because the way it happens is they'll show you a little package about, say, a topic. Bananas, right? And then you'll get, like Charles in Charge.
Yes.
So suddenly it'll go, you know, it starts Scott Baio. It had 126 episodes over five seasons, blah, 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 right?
Charles in Charge.
And then you have to answer the questions.
Yes.
But imagine if they gave you all that, then you had to rip a bong, then they played Cram.
Dude.
While you're cramming your face full of munchies.
I love this idea. It's excellent.
All right.
Sign
Baio
starred
as Charles, a college student attending the fictional Copeland College in New Brunswick, New Jersey, who finds a unique living arrangement with a family in need of a caretaker for their young children. So basically he's a male nanny, which is quite a progressive...
That is unique.
Well, it was at the time, I suppose.
Yeah.
The show also starred Willie Ames as Charles's best friend, Buddy Lembach. The series premiered on CBS October 3, what year?
October 3, 1985.
Pretty good. 1984.
Ooh.
And aired initially on Wednesday nights. I'd pay that, considering you were now just guessing.
Well, on the late night quiz on the ABC, they give you one either way.
I'll give you one either way.
I meant in the quiz. Like,
me too. So,
lost a bit of weight.
That's what we're going to call. That's what we're going to call the show.
One either way.
Will Anderson's One Either Way.
What is that? Oh, it's kind of a quiz show.
Kind of. Close enough. Lindsay Webb's close enough.
Oh, that's funny.
Aired initially on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m., paired with another new sitcom, Dreams, which I don't remember at all. All right.
No one remembers their dreams.
Facing off against two hits in ABC's The Fall Guy. Oh, The Fall Guy.
It was awesome.
And NBC's Highway to Heaven. So it was up against The Fall Guy.
Was that Michael Landau?
Landon,
thanks. Yeah.
And he was an angel.
He was awesome.
Who would go, you know what, let's put a pin in Highway to Heaven. Cause
okay, we'll come back to that.
We can come back to that. Neither show performed as well, and Charles in Charge was moved to Saturday nights after the cancellation of Dreams. Okay, so Dreams got cancelled. Your dreams are over, guys.
Dreams are nightmares.
Yeah, turns out, Martin Luther King has a dream, but this network no longer has dreams. Charles in Charge was moved to Saturday nights.
Well, probably where it belonged.
Yeah,
lighthearted sitcom entertainment on a Saturday night.
CBS eventually decided to cancel the series after it made no improvement in the ratings after its move to Saturday.
Oh.
And Charles in Charge aired its final episode on April 3.
Ooh, I guess it got a good 10 years out of itself. 94, 95, 94.
1985.
What?
Right.
Hang on a minute. It would ever do episodes, one a week. Did they not air some? Did they not air 74 of them?
Five seasons, it said, right?
Yeah.
126 episodes over five seasons. How can it have been cancelled? Well, let's dig deeper. We've got to find out what's going on
It must be 95.
Something does
it's
not
a typo.
Add up. All right, here
it's
we go.
It's got to be a typo.
When the season, here's the premise.
Okay.
When the series premiered, Charles had just taken a job with Stan and Jill Pembroke to help care for their three children, sons Jason and Douglas, and daughter Lila. I'm not sure.
Lila,
probably.
Yeah.
In exchange for his services, the Pembrokes provided Charles with room and board.
Right.
Right. Isn't it great that this is how crazy an idea would be, that a man would look after children, that it was the entire
premise. What are you guys, wacky?
What is this?
What, are you crazy? That's not a man's job. No one's going to watch that. No woman's going to like that. I'm putting a guy in charge of the children. It's dangerous. It's rating really well. What? It's going great. We love Charles. Charles is awesome. More guys should look after the children.
I don't know who that guy is, but I like him. He can stay. When the show returned. Here we go.
Uh-huh.
So.
Returned.
So it got cancelled. And then, don't call it a comeback. We've been here for years. Charles is back in charge, motherfuckers.
Still in charge.
Yeah.
Different network, perhaps?
When the show returned in 1987, the Powell family was living in the home. The Pembrokes had moved to Seattle.
Oh.
And it agreed to sublet the house, which included allowing Charles to continue living there.
He was one of the chattels. Chattels in charge.
Chattels. The family retained Charles's services as well.
He's a slave.
I just kept the slave.
He's pretty much a slave that comes with the house.
And he became
And you don't even have to pay him. It's awesome.
He became a caretaker for Ellen Pell's three children, son Adam and daughters Jamie and Sarah. In addition to them, Ellen's father-in-law, Walter, moved into the home to serve as his grandchildren's father figure. Ellen's husband was a Navy officer who was like, yeah, okay, blah, 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 blah. Let's find out here. Okay, so.
When did the flashback end?
Yeah, I want to know.
The reincarnation.
I want to know what's going on here. All right, let's see who's some famous people who are in it.
Oh, yeah. They did have guests each time, didn't
they? Charles's mother. Here we go. Michael Pearlman and Jennifer Runyon are the only actors. Okay, apart from Bayo and Ames to reprise their roles in the show. In the final two seasons, Sandra Kearns only made, I don't know, who cares. Charles's mother Lillian was played by Ellen Travolta, John Travolta's sister.
Wow.
She also played her sisters, Charlie's aunts, Sally and Vanessa. She had previously played the mother of Chachi Arcola, Scott Baio's character on Happy Days, and Joni Loves Chachi.
When you said, let's see who's been in it, I was going to say, I assume a steady stream of Happy Days actors and actresses.
Chachi's real name, incidentally, was also...
Charles.
Yes.
I think we knew that one, playing along at home.
Nicole Eggert.
Oh, yeah, Baywatch fame.
Went on to star in Baywatch. She was beautiful. And
the Cucumber Girl.
Josie David, what?
No. No, not her.
Hang on, what?
Didn't she have that controversial cucumber ad that was on while Baywatch was on at the same time?
What?
Yeah.
No.
Like, not what? In a way that she was doing weird things with the cucumber.
Well, I mean,
but
that's kind of what
overly
it was.
Suggestive with the cucumber.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, you know, one where people go, oh, it's not quite wrong, but what are you doing? You know those ads?
Well,
not like a Super Bowl ad where they've got, I don't know, Erica Haynes to walk around with actual coconuts in front of a coconut so you can't see the coconuts for the coconuts. But there was some weird. Controversial, maybe not weird.
Really? Well, yeah. I've Googled.
Oh God,
Nicole Eggert.
Careful, maybe cucumber. Controversial TV commercial and leave out cucumber.
Well, I've got to be honest with you. There's nothing coming up.
Okay. Well,
so maybe you just invented.
No, I'm not inventing
weird,
it. But I think I've got the. I might have the wrong person.
Fancy.
I may have the wrong person.
Okay. All right.
I'll find out.
Okay.
I'll get back to you on that one.
All right. To be continued.
Carry on.
All right. Here we go. Guest cast. Meg Ryan. Was in season one. Matthew Perry.
Gee whiz.
Christina Applegate.
Here we go. All of the teen stars of the day.
Yeah. Mark Paul Gosselaar.
I don't know who that is.
No, he was in like Saved by the Bell or one of those sort of shows, maybe. No, that's not right.
No.
Something like that. Who? Mark Paul Gosselaar. Now I'm going to have to... No. Here we go.
You're right.
Mark Paul Harry Gosselaar. Is an American actor. He's known for his television roles as Zach Morris in Saved by the Bell.
There you go. Well done.
All right, okay. Wikipedia's getting a real workout today. Samantha Fox.
Wow.
Yep.
I was a big fan of Samantha Fox.
Oh, yeah, okay.
What I'm saying is, big fan.
Yeah, big fan.
Big fan.
Her music?
No.
Is that what you were...
No, just her actoring.
Okay. just her general actoring. All right.
I don't believe her music was that great.
I'm going to see if there's any more Charles in charge information on the internet that isn't Wikipedia.
That's a lot more episodes and more people that I thought would have been in Charles in Charge.
Yeah. Charles in Charge TV series. I was hoping somebody might have written a, you know.
Oh, yeah.
That, yeah, some sort of excellent article on it, but they haven't done that.
Well, so. Opportunity gone begging.
All right. Well, Charles can fuck off then.
All right. So, let's, what do we pin there? Highway to Heaven.
Highway to Heaven. What are your memories of Highway to Heaven?
Oh, I love that show. He just, I don't know that he hitchhiked, but he definitely just wandered the road and stumbled upon people that needed help, angelic help, and somehow fixed their lives and moved on. Similar to the little hobo. Littlest
hobo.
Yep. But in human form with a similar hairstyle.
I'm glad that you've said that, by the way, because on this show before, maybe on TOEFOP, I'm not sure, but we certainly at some stage had a conversation about the fact that my memories of Highway to Heaven and The Littlest Hobo were pretty much the exact same
show.
Though,
weren't they?
But in one of them, the angel was actually a dog.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
because I think the dog even at one stage had the stick with the hanky on the end with his belongings in it. You remember that?
I don't. And I know we've talked about it before, but I'm happy to re-explore it. Okay, let's have a look at Highway to Heaven.
It was a great show.
To Heaven is an American TV drama which ran on NBC from 1972? No, you're way out.
Really? 82?
Even on my game show, one either way.
You're not getting one.
That is not one either way.
Is it 82? Is it more modern than I
expected? It's more modern than you expect, yes.
Okay. Well,
even more modern than 1982.
Wowza. All right, well, let's go right up the other end. 89.
Okay, that was the year it finished. So 84 to 89.
Okay.
The series aired for 5 seasons, running a total of 111 episodes. It was shot almost entirely in...
Cincinnati.
California. The series starred...
Michael Landon.
As Jonathan Smith... John Smith.
Yes, like the apple.
And Victor French, Landon's co-star from Little House on the Prairie, as Mark Gordon.
Oh, I didn't realise they were in that show, both shows together.
Jonathan Smith is an angel who has been stripped of his wings and is now on probation.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
So essentially, this is very much like... the start of the Mighty Ducks. Because, you know,
you've been dropped down a league.
It's like when the judge sentenced Emilio Estevez's character to coach Pee Wee Hockey. Yes. That's essentially what's happened with Michael Lander, with old Jonathan Smith.
What do you mean I'm not in the Heaven Leagues anymore? Yeah. No, we're moving you down to Earth League.
You've been relegated. You're on probation, mate.
You do all right down there, we'll move you back up.
Right. Yeah, you're getting sent back to the twos.
Good luck.
Yeah. Got to get some form in the Sheffield Shield, buddy.
So. We're putting you down to the feeder club, because Earth is the feeder club for Heaven, right?
It totally is. That's right. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, there you go.
So he's an angel who's been stripped of his wings and is now on probation, sent to Earth. He meets and pairs up with... By the way, why... is Heaven... Okay, here's just a question.
Ooh.
Well, I mean, here's a question about something that probably isn't real. So it's a very hypothetical question.
I'll make up my answer.
Why are angels so obsessed with their wings? Like, I get it's kind of cool to have wings to be able to fly or whatever, but in a general sense, if you're in heaven and you're an angel, to me, after a while, I'd be like, I'll be fine without wings. I'll just sit down.
Do you need to wear the uniform? Yeah. What do the people in heaven that don't have wings are not falling out, are they?
Right. And, like, I would have thought that wings are, like, uncomfortable to sleep on and, like, you can't get a chair that fits. Or maybe that's the problem. Maybe all the chairs have, like...
wing-centric.
Yeah, exactly. And then it's really hard to sit in because you keep falling into your wing holes.
Let's go down to the sports club. Why? Oh, it's wing night. Why? What are the wings then seen more of a status symbol? You know, like a judge wears a wig, or an officer of the army wears the fancy lapels.
But isn't that like against the whole idea of heaven? Mm. Like, is heaven now just another place where it's all about your fucking status?
Yes,
and who's got the wings?
It has been all along.
Oh, right. So even in heaven, you have to worry that someone else is doing better than we are.
Well, Jesus was for everybody, but there was only 12 disciples.
Okay. John Smith lost his wings. He's on probation. He's sent to Earth. He meets up and pairs up with a human.
Sorry, I feel John Smith's a made-up name. I feel that that's not his angel name. I think that's what they've given you to go to Earth with.
Well, I think it's his, it's his cover name. It's his nom de plume.
The Archangel John Smith.
Right.
It's not a real one.
No, I think that's his, well, he can't be called Gabriel or whatever, right? Like, he's got to be Jono. Smithy. Yeah, he's John Citizen. Yes. John Citizen has lost his wings. All right, here we go. John and Mark are given assignments. Okay, so he meets and pairs up with his human partner and friend, Mark Gordon. So basically, it's a buddy relationship. Jonathan and Mark are given assignments by...
God?
Yes, but in the show he's referred to as...
Chief? Boss? Boss.
I'm going to give you that one. The boss. They call him the boss. It's either God or Bruce Springsteen. No wonder he was walking all those highways. He was just listening to Springsteen albums and getting messages out
he
of them.
He did have a lot of denim from memory too, didn't he?
I mean, this is actually a really gritty story about schizophrenia. Like, this is a guy who's like a schizophrenic guy, believes he's an angel who's lost his wings, and he's listening to Bruce Springsteen.
Going on a walking tour. I mean, California.
Yeah. Not to be disrespectful to schizophrenia, because he did a lot of good.
Great stuff.
Jonathan and Mark are given assignments by the boss, i.e. God, where they are required to use their humanity to help various troubled souls overcome their problems. These problems include families dealing with sick loved ones, all-round losers.
What? Did you just make that up?
No.
All-round losers.
It says, literally, I'll read you the sentence. These problems include families dealing with sick loved ones. And you go, fair enough.
Yeah, sick loved
then
ones.
The next one. In quotation marks, all-round losers.
Oh, can you name an all-round loser? Does that everything's gone wrong in your life? Is that what that is? Bum skid row? Bum luck?
All-round losers who are encouraged to find their self-worth. People coping with loss of family, such as war widows. Parsons who are struggling to lead their flocks. Greedy businessmen being encouraged to use their wealth for good.
Well, both those things are the same.
Activists who are exploiting problems such as civil rights for their own personal gain.
Jesus.
I mean, I was...
Oi, oi, oi.
I mean, the show's called Highway to Heaven, so I assumed there was going to be some religious stuff in there, but I didn't realise it was going to suddenly be like...
Stacked up like the pancake manor.
Whoa, that took a little... Could you just put one in about civil rights leaders being corrupt? Something about all-round losers. How they should fix themselves.
I mean, fix themselves up. How would they do that? Bring them to the church.
Yeah. Wow. local politicians being shown as the true meaning of leadership. Small-time crooks or organised crime members being warned about their future in...
Organised crime. Jail. The gang. The mafia. The mob. Prison.
Being warned about their future in...
Life. Heaven. Afterlife.
You're so almost there to the point that you will kick yourself once you... The show's called Highway to Heaven.
Yeah.
But these bad guys are convinced that they're going to
go to... Hell.
Yes, yeah. Correct. All right.
Oh, the underground network.
Discouraging prejudice in regard to people of different races? Okay, well, that's good. Socioeconomic backgrounds and disabilities. Each episode typically begins with Jonathan and Mark arriving in a new city. And
they did just walk, didn't they? Did they have a car? Or is that just walking from the opening sequence that I'm remembering as the whole show?
Okay, I'm going to see if I can find the Highway to Heaven.
They can't have walked. That's the hobo that walked. I mean, the hobo didn't drive, did he? Didn't have a Cadillac. They must have had a car. They must have had a modest car, surely.
Opening couldn't have titles? Walked. Is that what you call it?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, let's see if it's here.
Opening titles, Highway to Heaven.
Oh, yeah.
Here we go.
Beautiful. Highway to Heaven.
Perfect.
Intro. I'm just going to play
Looks misty. There was that cheesecloth lens effect, wasn't there, quite a bit?
Here we go. So it's a minute and a half, which is pretty old school.
Wide shot of the sky early in the morning, late in the arvo.
Piano and orchestral music.
Very 80s.
It really is just some clouds though, isn't it?
It's mystical. I think they're sort of saying, here we go, into the clouds.
And then fade onto the highway.
Big graphics, Highway to Heaven.
I forgot it had this like...
Cheesy. Oh, our life was so dull and boring. If only there was something on the road to do.
to make the world a little better. Something I could achieve for everybody. Oh, me. Oh.
And what you're seeing is Jonathan Smith walking down the highway. Mm. Now you're looking at his shadow.
So I was right. It is just walking is just in the opening.
But the thing is also, it wasn't
such
him
a striking man. Oh, here comes the car.
Okay,
he comes. That's how he got the car.
Oh, this is his mate.
Earthling. Victor French.
Yeah, this is Victor French. And he picks him up.
What? The offsider is always a grotty, grubby American man, isn't it? Just like the greatest American hero, Away to Heaven. It's always the same style of offsider. Just a slightly hapless, probably divorced, lives in an apartment somewhere, not real happy. I'll help you. Yeah.
There is...
And they drive off together. It's a lovely story.
He gets in and gives him this big cheesy smile. Yeah. And if you watch that in a different context, it essentially just looks like a really... Like, it looks like the start of a gay porn film.
If it was just an ad and the word grinder just came up at the end, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, if it was an ad for grinder. Yeah.
So a guy walks out of the woods, hops in a car by a guy being driven along a highway, and they drive off. No questions.
If it was an app that was a combination of grinder and Uber for hitchhikers.
Mm, Gruber.
Right, yeah.
Hans Gruber.
Hans Gruber.
I'll pick you up in the woods. Mmm. Yeah, 9:30.
Would you like to die hard? All right. So I want to learn a little bit more about Highway to Heaven because I am fascinated by this TV show.
Oh, great show.
I mean, I loved it. And I'm not religious, but I do love... there was something about the show.
Well, apart from the titles that we read where obviously they were trying to force a lot of religion into it, I don't recall the show being overly religious, but then I also went to an Anglican school where they were probably saying something about God at some point that I missed.
But also, when you read, I guess you read like the Narnia books, right?
Yeah.
Did you realise that they were religious when you were reading them?
I read them. No, I read them back at, in school days. But no, I didn't realise at all. No.
All right.
Now, made me cross.
Yeah.
I guess that was a point.
I was like, oh, fucking Aslan is Jesus? This is bullshit, man.
I'll have none of your bullshit.
Yeah. All right, Highway to Heaven, let's see. Oh, shut the fuck up.
Here we go.
Now, maybe we talked about this last time that we looked up Highway to Heaven. I love that I...
You've done this before. Hey,
what's your podcast about?
Well,
no, it's a good reason I brought this one back because I occasionally forget that I'm interested in Highway to Heaven.
And this replenishes.
Oh, hang on. We knocked down that. That's fine. That's all good. A&E, this is from January 16, 2014. So there obviously hasn't been much up-to-date information on this. So perhaps this may not be happening. All but back at least in 2014, there was talk that Highway to Heaven is making an edgy comeback.
Can I buzz in? Michael, not so available. Got his wings back.
Did he at the end?
No,
I know he died, but did he at the end of Highway to Heaven?
I honestly thought he did, didn't he? Didn't he make it? I thought he did.
I don't know.
I might have made that up. Might have just wished it. You know how when a movie finishes and you get to finish it yourself, where they didn't quite put an ending in?
I'm going to have to type in too much. So I'm just going to... You have to talk while
I... Yeah, okay. I often do, when you go and watch a movie, I complain that they don't have a solid ending for you. You know, when you get to the conclusion of a movie, but they leave some things for you to just decide what happened in the background. I sometimes really enjoy that. Other times I'm like, but I don't know what to make up about what happened at the end of that movie. So I feel as though the end of this one could be either that it really happened... Or I imagined it.
You just made up your own ending.
Was it? Did it just get cancelled?
Okay. No. I'm like saying that you actually...
Oh, right. I thought you had the results of the survey.
No. Here we go. I thought you would... What happened in the last episode of Highway to Heaven?
Great.
It
was Wings Night.
Come on.
Beating around the bush.
People have asked that question before, but there doesn't seem to be...
No one knows. That's weird.
Right. Highway to Heaven, Merry Christmas.
Can you buy the box set?
This might be it. Here we go.
Well, Merry Christmas sounds like the right sort of finish, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
That sounds like esque.
No, that's not... Sorry. right, I'm going to have to look.
Is there a fan page for Highway to Heaven? Like you say, it's not the freshest of shows, is it? You need more information from people, more about the denim and what sort of denim it was. We want to know. You'd think someone must have written a fan fiction.
You would have thought so, right?
Yeah. I mean, surely.
Well, Mark Wahlberg was going to make a TV series about it.
But oh, is that who they were going to get to
play? Yeah, Marky Mark. But oh, it obviously didn't happen because... all right, here we go.
Do you know what I call Planet of the Apes? Marky Mark and the Monkey Bunch.
It's pretty good, actually.
Thanks.
It's pretty good. All right, here we go.
Here we go.
This is just some blog. Now I'm literally on some blog.
That's who we are now.
Maybe you remember this TV series, Writer's Review 7, Blogspot.
Blogspot.
Maybe you remember this TV series that aired from 1984 to 1989 with Michael Landon and Victor French.
Yeah, we do.
This was a very special show with tear-jerking scripts.
Whoa.
That touched on the love God has for humanity.
They don't mean as lube, though, do they, when they say that?
Even though I was only 5 to 10 years old during this time, I can remember watching episodes with my grandma.
Okay, wow. Well, this okay. Is
this might not give us all the information. I want to know what happened at
Does
the
it get
end.
Less sappy?
I'm flipping through. Oh, that's just got a bit Christian.
It just got a bit Christian.
Well, I mean, again.
I mean, it is a bit of a Christian shot.
Yeah, I mean, that's like me walking into a strip club and going, why does everyone have their clothes off?
I listened to about an hour of Christian scripture on the radio yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Why?
It's uplifting. I thought I was able to do anything when I got to where I was going. I hurt myself getting out of the car. But why?
Yeah.
I couldn't get any other reception. And I after 2 minutes of listening to it while I was fumbling about doing something else, I went, I'm intrigued now. Where are you going with this? And so I listened to it play out. Fortunately, today on the way down here, I stumbled across, I don't know why this was on in the afternoon, Conversations with Richard Feidler, one of my favourite shows on the ABC radio. You can listen to it in podcast form. And he had Mia Friedman from Mamma Mia, which is not Mamia, which was what I thought it was called for
Mamia.
Ages.
Mamia.
It's Mamma Mia.
It's good to be here at Mamia.
But what a great podcast that was. You should listen to that. I don't know what I was listening to. It must be the ABC. There's a spot where you don't get much reception between Brisbane and here on the radio.
All right, and here we go.
Could be bothered plugging my phone in.
Yes, 1989, season 5. I'm going to try to just find the synopsis on IMDb.
Here we go.
About what happened in the final episode.
I'll be honest, I've never wanted to know something more now.
No, I'm really fascinated.
I'd want to be telling you to give up. Don't worry about it. Who cares? Well, I do.
Yeah. Seriously. I really have got to the point where I'm just like, I need to know how
the hell happened. Someone ring in. Someone call us.
Okay, so it does say that the final episode was Merry Christmas from Grandpa.
Okay.
It says the summary of the plot is a wealthy tycoon grandfather loves his young grandson dearly.
Oh, yeah.
His company is doing underhanded things that damage the environment.
Mm.
Jonathan takes grandfather into the future. So it's a Christmas
fast forward.
Carol sort of thing, like a tales of, you
Scrooge.
Know. Into the future to show him the environmental devastation.
Oh, wow.
Well, I mean, he was right.
Mm,
I mean, really nailed it. They got it in 1989.
Archangel Smithy's onto it.
This guy gets it. Michael Landon gets it. Trump doesn't get it, but Landon gets it.
Yeah.
His comedy is caused directly affecting his beloved grandson and future generations.
Okay. Oh, good message. But doesn't say
if he gets his fucking wings or not.
Oh, for God's sake.
I mean, seriously.
Can you just type in?
No, I did. I've typed
Does
in
he
everything.
Get his wings back?
Okay. But it doesn't. Okay.
I've got a thing here. I've got a Google machine.
I know, but people don't want it anyway.
I often give up on things like this when you go, why doesn't the internet have this? It doesn't have it. It's got all sorts of useless shit. It's got my running results from cross country in 1987. It doesn't have whether this guy got his wings back at the end of a very popular series. There are millions of people that would talk about this show around the world.
Right. These days, everyone's bitching about final episodes of TV series. Like, you know, what happened to the end of Sopranos?
Yeah.
What happened, like, the end of Breaking Bad?
Oh, man.
Why aren't people talking about the fact that
Important
I don't know
stuff.
If Jonathan Smith got his wings back at the end of Highway to Heaven?
What happened in the last episode? I got to a crossroads and ran into this dog that was doing the same job as he was, and they walked off together.
Oh, okay. All right. Here we go.
Hope.
All right.
Hope. It's what the show was about.
Okay. Did Highway to Heaven ever reveal the angel yes. Jonathan's backstory? Okay, well, that's not quite what we're looking for.
But... Oh, yeah. Why did he get kicked out of heaven?
Jonathan Smith lived life as Arthur Thompson.
Wait a minute.
Sorry. His real life name was... this is good, though. I'm into this.
Isn't it right?
Like, wasn't what we were looking for.
We're happy again now.
All right, Internet.
Oh, you can stay.
One either way. It's giving me one either way. It hasn't actually given me the right answer.
Didn't give me what I wanted. It's giving me something good.
Yeah. Jonathan Smith lived life as Arthur Thompson. Arthur was happily married and worked as a lawyer, but he died after a battle with lung cancer.
Oh.
Arthur came back as the guardian angel Jonathan. Highway to Heaven does have three episodes featuring Jonathan's widow, Jane. One of those episodes, season 2, episode 16, Keep Smiling, has Jonathan comforting Jane after the death of her friend. The other two episodes, season 4, episodes 17 and 18, We Have Forever, parts 1 and 2, shows Jane at the end of her life and shows Jonathan questioning his loyalty to God
yes.
and anger towards him needing him to remain on earth.
I feel as though she died in a car accident. I vaguely recall the scene.
Oh.
Yes, right.
Okay, well, right. I like that. Good. Thank you very much.
So he wasn't happy with God. I don't want your job. Here's your stinking wings. I'm going down to Earth League.
All right, let's have a look at...
Wow.
When his former wife passes away, Jonathan hopes he'll be released from his duties to be reunited with her in heaven.
Yes.
But the boss...
Spring spook.
...wants him to stay on Earth. When Jonathan becomes so enraged at the boss...
Ooh.
He refuses to obey. He's stripped of his angelic powers and turned into a mortal.
Oh, fuck the herald angel.
Hang on. So what was his powers?
He didn't have any powers. That's why it says in the synopsis that they just had to go and help people with humanity. Was it humanity that they said?
Right, but did he have powers in the show?
No, they took his wings. They took his badge.
But did he have powers?
I don't remember him having any powers. Didn't he just sort of know what people were saying? Was he a bit psychic? I think maybe he knew a bit about what people were saying. I don't remember him laser beams or anything. I don't think he was... No telekinesis. I mean, the SFX on that at the time would have been through the charts.
Highway to Heaven powers.
No, I think he just had the Vaseline on the lens just to give it a bit of ambience, which is French for medical vehicle.
Is that right? I was not aware of that. I mean, it's nice to have you on the show because you do bring such a level of intelligence, research. It's just something that we don't normally have. So, culture.
Oh, thanks.
International culture. Yeah. That's what I think of when it comes to you.
I'm the worldly web.
All right. I want a little...
information on the Highway to Heaven. Thanks.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you say the information for Marky Mark and the Angel Bunch?
It was 2014.
That's too far, isn't it? Saying that, someone big bought the rights to movie, that great
the,
book.
You know that movie, the Basketball Diaries, that had Mark Wahlberg, and it was based on the heroin addict poet guy, and Leonardo DiCaprio played him.
No.
Anyway, Marky Mark and the Junkie Bunch.
I wish I knew it. Would have been more helpful.
What would Transformers be? Marky Mark and the Chunky Bunch? No, it's not quite right. All right, let's look at some more. I'm sorry to anybody who... Look, you know what?
This podcast, wouldn't be into it?
Who wouldn't be into this?
Yeah. I mean, if we weren't doing this, this podcast wouldn't be happening.
I mean, that
so
is
really,
the point.
So really, you know, thank you, Michael Landon. Nailed it.
I want kind of a year by year sort of synopsis.
Yeah,
of
does
what's
it not? The wiki page doesn't give it to you. Who was the network? Does the network have better information?
I'm surprised
on it?
By this, to be honest. I would have thought that there would just be more information.
You know, I think anything pre-90s has not really got the treatment of the full internet scope that anything post-90s has.
Well,
it,
I mean,
really?
I guess that's why. But
do you know what I mean? I mean, I'm fortunate. I think it's good because a lot of my early comedy doesn't need to be on the internet.
Fuck it out.
So I feel bad for people that have started their career right now where people can film. inform you all the time. Like when you're brand new, that wasn't a thing until I was about 10 years into my career, could people actually just sit there and film me with their phones. You know, we get paranoid when I was like, doing open mic spots about someone walking in with a video. They've got a video camera. They're probably going to record it. Probably going to put it on the internet when they invent it. Like it wasn't even a thing. Nowadays, you get filmed walking around all over the place.
Oh, mate, like it was one of those things where I will have like new comedians like film their first set and put it on YouTube and send me a link saying, can you give me some advice? And I'm like, yeah, I can. Take that down. You are going to be embarrassed by that forever. Take that down. Destroy it. Erase it from the internet.
I mean, watch
Throw
it yourself.
Your computer in a bin.
Throw your computer in the bin. Change your name. Leave town. What have you done?
Change your name to Jonathan Smith. You've lost your wings. I am the boss. And you have to go from town to town. All right. Let's. Here we go. Each episode typically begins with Jonathan and Mark arriving in a new city and assuming the identities of business employees or civil service workers.
Oh, like the undercover bosses.
Yeah, so it was essentially undercover boss. It was undercover the boss.
Yeah, yeah. We've been all businessy and religious at the same time.
Due to Jonathan's angelic nature, the two are able to adopt positions such as police officers.
What? Hang on.
Yeah. So
I didn't realise it was illegal.
I mean, it's one of those things where you're like, hang on. So he must have had some sort of powers, right? Because you can't just...
But is it just persuasion?
...wander into town and have a nice looking
face.
Yeah,
I'm a sheriff.
And they go, you're a police officer
now,
right?
Yeah, I'm a sheriff. Yeah, I've been a sheriff for years here. What?
They were able to adopt positions such as police officers, medical personnel. Again, not just something you should give someone the job of because they've got a pretty face.
In Bundaberg, they let you be a doctor, I think, if you...
Collect six bottle tops. if you've got your own knives.
Oh, you've got trousers. Come in.
Teachers, social workers. These are all...
Wow.
Like professions.
Influential.
That I would be worried if I went in.
Yeah.
And it turned out it was just some undercover angel.
Yeah. No, just some... No, wait. Unemployed angel. Like, just an angel that got the sack from doing what he did has decided to go and pretend to be human things.
What did he do in heaven to lose his wings?
Well, no, nothing. I think that's what he did was he didn't believe in God's work because his wife died and he wouldn't let him join her. So he denounced God, lost his wings.
No, because his wife...
I got the wrong dipping sauce?
Yeah, his wife was... Well, again, who fucking knows? Firstly, who fucking knows? Like, I was about to be really definitive about something that I only confusingly read 3 minutes ago. But my understanding...
Would you believe it?
My limited understanding
is... See how Christianity started?
I'm so angry about the fact that there isn't more information about the questions I have about Highway to Heaven. I have so many questions. I want to know, how did they assume these identities? Like, what America was it that they lived in where you could just walk into town and become a police officer or a fucking
Seriously?
Doctor or whatever?
Whatever you like.
You and your beardy mate rolled into town.
I'm flat out making my own coffee at the shops down the road.
So he must have had some sort of angel powers. But again, he's a guy who did something bad enough in heaven that he was like kicked back down here. So I want to know what he did up there.
Ponzi schemes.
But I think...
he was selling off clouds.
He goes, you know what? If you just give me one of your miracles, each of you gives me one miracle.
I'll put your family members on the door.
Right, yeah. I'll put your family members on the door. I know Peter. Peter's a mate of mine,
Pete,
I swear.
A couple of names for you.
I've got a couple of names on the door. We're the comedians. have you ever heard that joke? Matt Kirshen tells it. It's such one of those great comedy, you know, just those things about comedy, you know, old comedy stories. These things come up a bit in the podcast, but, you know, that famous one about the guy playing Vegas and he's done the 7 o'clock show and the 9 o'clock show, or, you know, there's a versions of this story.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
And he gets his phone call back at his hotel room that night, and it's this woman. She's like, you know, I'm one of the strippers from the club, dancers at the club. You know, I saw your act tonight.
Like how you tidied that up.
Yeah. Well,
dancer.
I'd like to come in your room, and we'd have a night of the, you know, the best sex you're ever going to have in your entire life, and then you're never going to have to see me again, but I guarantee it'll be the greatest night of your entire life. And the comedian says, did you see the early show or the late show? So...
And that's how you spell self-absorbed.
That to me sums up all you need to know about stand-up comedy. But Matt Kirshen told me another one, which is like this, you know, the story of like, you know, so the, you know, all these people are up in heaven and they're standing alone waiting, you know, at the gates, and there's this long line to get into the gates of heaven.
Well, why is it taking so long?
Yeah, and then these two guys walk up to the front of St. Peter and go, "Where are the comics?"
Which, you know, you shouldn't tell everyone, but we'll get you straight in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then you do have to turn out to be one of the comics. There's a fairly steep stipulation on using that one.
Okay, so they get into town. These con men.
Yeah.
These assume dirty, some position. Con men come into town.
What do you want to be? Well, cops. Let's be cops.
I mean, all things with high stakes, mostly. And other skilled employees without any check. Oh, here we go. I could have just kept reading. It turns out.
Why do that?
Yeah, that some of my questions would have been answered by the rest of this sentence. All right, here we go. Without any check of their background or verification of their employment history.
Well, you know, computers weren't. They weren't great, were they?
This allows for a variety of identities and scenarios in which the two find themselves inserted. Both Jonathan and Mark face the same difficulties as people on Earth trying to rectify these problems and had no special abilities apart from the boss's tutorial.
Now, you know, we say that they're assuming positions amongst, you know, the human people, but they are being told to do that by the commander-in-chief.
Right.
A boss man, a funky boohoo. So... is that, I mean, if God's telling you to do something, do you say no again or do you go, all right, I'll be the cop?
Yeah. I'll be the cop. But imagine that's not a way that people actually get employment. Like if you went down the street and said to a cafe, started making coffee.
Like, what? What am I doing? God said, double latte, little caramel. This is the first place I came to. What's the problem? What's the problem? Did God not tell you? Are you not with God? Well, this is awkward.
I used to be a doctor. I was a policeman last week.
I'm going to be a psychologist next week.
Yeah. All right. So apart from the boss's tutorial. However, in rare situations, the boss would help the protagonist with the stuff.
What's the stuff? Wait a minute. So these guys are cruising into town, taking jobs and getting high.
Assuming identities, because apparently the boss told
them to get the stuff. Okay. Yeah.
Divine providence, which was often at times of extreme duress a reward for making excellent progress on the mission.
Oh, right. Wow. It's like a computer game. You're getting through the levels and at the end you've got to face the big boss.
The series aimed to address contemporary and social emotional issues with sensitivity and also with humour, particularly between Jonathan and Mark. Their personalities often clash, Jonathan being more sensible and compassionate but naive, and Mark being more pragmatic and cynical. But they always support each other.
Oh, great.
Jonathan's mission on Earth is to do enough good in order to regain his wings and presumably ascend to heaven. As Jonathan and Mark develop a close relationship and Jonathan is better in favour with heaven, Mark would sometimes try to impede Jonathan's progress.
Undermining motherfucker.
Because he didn't want to lose his friend.
Not a fan of wings, not.
Well, there you go. No, so not a fan of wings.
Does it keep going?
No, that's it.
No, what about the... Does he get his wings?
Mate, don't get me started. Did he? And I mean by that, don't let me continue. Because I understand I've already started. This is so unsatisfying. Okay. What about this? TV.com. We haven't been to TV.com yet. So Highway to Heaven. Let's have a look here.
Why don't we just ring Malk? He'll know.
I mean, it's one of those things where it's like, why is there not more? I just feel like... I felt like this would be one of these things where there would just be so much information about
it. Oh, I'm with you. It's a popular, like it's even a popular culture, popular show, right?
Right. Well, I would have thought so. And I would just would have thought with the religious aspect, there just would have been so much information about it on the internet. But
you know how on Google there's a Google Scholar?
Yeah.
Is there Google Religion? Is there a...
Oh, I don't know.
Is there that?
I'm just going to keep going.
Does it have that thing in it?
I'm just going to go further and further down the list and see if I can.
Oh, find. Look, a rabbit hole. I wonder what's in here.
Cast and characters. That's not what I want.
Wings.
Highway to Heaven. Oh, a lot of headlines about when he lost his battle to cancer. Highway to Heaven.
Oh. You know.
TV review, Highway to Heaven from the New York Times. Oh my God.
Wow. Look, I'm gonna make some assumptions based on the fact that we're not finding the information.
Yeah.
Because that last episode where it says the Merry Christmas one or whatever it was called. Was it Merry Christmas from Granddad? Yeah. It doesn't say anything about him completing his task. And no. I think the ongoing battle between him and his minder to not want him to leave and for him to not want him to achieve, I think they would have wanted to keep that alive should the show get renewed, because as soon as he gets his wings, it's over, isn't it? Unless a new angel flunks out of heaven.
I know, but it's one of those ones where you, like the final episode of Lost, you want some resolution.
Well, this is like I was saying with those movies where they don't tell you exactly what happened. You've got to make up that bit yourself. All right. Did I pay for that? I paid for that.
We've got to finish in a minute, but because we've got a show to do tonight.
No, he got his wings, though.
Well, what I'm going to do instead than finding that out, and this can be a to be continued.
Okay.
I'm going to read you a review of Highway to Heaven.
Cool.
From the New York Times, dated September 19th, 1984. This is a review of the opening episode of Highway to Heaven. So this is what the reviewer from the New York Times thought about this new show. So I'm hoping in this there might be some description of...
Great.
Yeah, some background.
Closure. Plot. Some closure.
Not closure. It's the first episode. There can't be closure in the first episode.
I might know.
Michael Landon is getting somewhat thick around the middle.
Hang on. Oh. Whoa. Brutal start.
John J. O'Connor has gone in pretty hard.
Wow.
Michael Landon is getting somewhat thick around the middle.
I mean, that might have been for the role.
And his outsized helmet of hair.
Oh, geez. Oh, my God. They did not like it. I'm not seeing five stars.
Boy, he's beginning to look a bit odd on a man of his age, but he retains a firm hold on television's goodness market.
What would he have been in this, 40 something? Our age.
Michael Landon became a star 25 years ago on NBC's Bonanza. When that series ran its course in 1973, he went on to even greater fame and fortune as the perfect father in NBC's A Little House on the Prairie.
Is that all written there?
Now, wasting no time, he can be found on the same network's Highway to Heaven, which gets underway tonight at 8 with a special two-hour premiere.
7:30 Eastern.
This time, Mr. Landon is being elevated to the status of angel. No kidding. Along with his success has come power. Highway to Heaven is made by Michael Landon Productions.
Whoa.
He is the executive producer of the series and the director and writer of this first episode.
Shit.
Ooh, I didn't realize it was a passion project.
Wow.
Okay.
He really did the double denim.
It's therefore safe to infer that the general gooiness of this project is his alone for blame or for credit. Actually, Mr. Landon seems to have accurately sensed the prevailing mood of the country. This is a world of rugged individualism in which simple human kindness can triumph over all the failings of human nature and coldly calculating institutions. This angel pointedly helps those who help themselves.
Oh, cookie jar.
Of course, Jonathan Smith, or just plain John Smith, is not your usual rugged individual.
Mm.
That friend of yours, one observer notes, he strike you as funny? He sure does. It seems that Jonathan is a probationary angel being tested for his worthiness. A news release explains that his job is to aid people in need by reminding them that life is still worth living if only we give each other a helping hand.
Great message.
That's a good message.
Great message.
After descending from some spectacular clouds to an open highway, Jonathan spends his television debut helping out some folk being mistreated at a home for the elderly in a small semi-rural town.
Good way to start.
Jonathan is always calm and soft-spoken, always generous in the face of hostility and meanness. The home doesn't need a new handyman. He offers to work free of charge for a month. This is how. See?
Right.
Now we're getting some answers. Right.
Didn't just take over as handyman.
Cheap labour.
Yeah.
That's how he's getting involved in all these
it's
jobs.
It's Charles in charge all over again.
Yeah. They're like, okay.
It's another slave.
So he's essentially an intern.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's an intern going from town to town doing free work.
Doing odd jobs.
That does explain a lot more. He offers to work free for charge for a month. The home is kind of drab. He sets about planting a profusion of flowers at no cost. One of the frustrated nurses leads an unhappy life caring for a drunken brother, a former policeman with a sour view of the world. He brings a touch of revitalizing romance into her life and ends up taking on the reformed brother as his earthling partner for future adventures. So that's how he meets.
They didn't just meet on the highway.
No.
Well, that's better.
Making things even cuter, an embittered patient at the home is played by Helen Hayes, who is quickly charmed when Jonathan brings her a warm puppy.
What? Pardon? Like, with vegetables?
Well,
warm? Like it was in a car for too long? What does that mean? No one's ever said warm puppy. Like, cute puppy, annoying puppy, lovely puppy. Oh, it's a puppy puppy. No one's ever said, fetch me a warm puppy. What? I mean, yes, my warm puppies. Not my hush puppies, my warm puppies.
No, I'm with you.
Who has a puppy warmer?
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I'm 100% with you on the phrase warm puppy.
Is that a thing? Is that a...
Which she names, in a sign of the times, Puffy. She is being wooed ardently.
Oh, Jesus. By, leaving that alone.
By a little Jewish man who is not without reason given to frequent...
Can't even read it. What do you got for us here, you
young
tots?
This was going well until I realised that the joke was called Puffy and that the Jewish character just frequently says, Oi, Gewalt,
oh.
When things get out of hand.
Isn't that what Krusty the Clown says?
Oi, Gewalt. After Jonathan works his wonders in reviving the spirit of his elderly friends, the home is faced with the prospect of a sale by its businessman owner. See, that's your highway to heaven grounds.
There you go.
Evil businessman.
Yep.
All bets end up being placed on a horse race.
What?
And it shouldn't be difficult to figure out which side will win. Okay.
Mm.
All right. Announcing that it's time for me to ride into the sunset, Jonathan concedes that his type of work sometimes gets lonely.
Ah.
But accompanied by the former cop, he sets out, looking as noble and sincere as only Michael Landon knows how, determined to prove the world doesn't stink. Good luck, Jonathan Smith, with television surfeit of actual action adventures and silly sitcoms. There might be a profitable piece of the entertainment pie waiting for you down that lonesome road.
Wow.
Well, there you go. That was that.
I honestly can't tell you at the end of that review whether that guy liked it or not.
Well, I think it was. I don't know if he.
Or is that the point?
I don't
need to know if he liked it or not. It's just a review of the show. What a great review.
That's what I think as well. I don't think that he.
A good review.
I don't think he knows whether he liked it or not either.
Doesn't need to say. Does a reviewer ever need to say whether or not they liked the show? Couldn't they talk about what the show was without their own opinion of the show?
No, I agree. I mean, I feel
that's
like
my review of reviewers.
I was going to say, I feel like he probably didn't need to, you know, say that Michael Glandon was getting fat and his hair was stupid.
But that
either.
Was a couple of shots at the side ups front, wasn't I it? Mean, hey, fatty with your buff head. Your show's all right. Good luck. Have some pie. You like it.
All right.
You like pie.
You know what? I'm really disappointed by the lack of Highway to Heaven clarity on the fucking internet. Fuck, we have finally found the black hole in the internet.
Well, I appreciate the review.
Yeah. All right. Well, we should finish up because I've got to go to have a quick shower and we've got to get to this show. So thank you very much for listening. Lindsay, where can people find you in the world?
Late January 28th until the 4th of Feb, you will find me at the Perth Fringe doing various things. Then I'm in the Adelaide Fringe doing a solo show called Truth Bomb, also a one-off show called Unleashed at the Rhino, a live recording of the What's Your Name, What Do You Do podcast at the Rhino on the 15th of March, and a couple of other things. Check the website. That's what's coming up in the not-too-distant future.
I got to the fifth page of Wikipedia of Google here, and yes. Sorry, not of Wikipedia, of Google, Highway to Heaven, I'm now on Urban Dictionary.
Yes.
A line of hair running from the navel to the crotch. So,
okay, righto. That was the Brazilian Lando.
Hey, I'm on tour for ages. Adelaide, Brisbane, Melbourne, Perth, they're all on sale. My show's called Illegal. It's what I'm trying to work out at the moment here in... So I guess, I don't know if you're... Yeah, I mean, maybe you'll hear this. There may still be... I'm going to do a show on Sunday at 5 o'clock at the Brunswick Picture House. There's some tickets available to that. Maybe you may even hear this before Saturday night, 9 o'clock. There may or may not be tickets available still to that by the time that you
get
hear
in
this.
Before you heard this.
Lindsay is going to come and do a spot again on Sunday at 5. So if you hear it before then...
come and say hi. I'm going to get a Michael Landon strip.
I mean, it was almost worth it for that, I guess. I hope it was.
It's been a pleasure. I dropped this, but it's yours.
Okay. See you guys. Thank you. Bye.